A new day, if the Lord tarries, we're going into 2014 in just a couple of days. My question is, I wonder what God is wanting to do in you and through you for His glory. My question is, I wonder where the Lord is going to take us in 2014. I don't know the answers to that. None of us know the answers to that. But time will tell where God is wanting to take you and take me and what God is wanting to do through us for His glory. Facing a new day. I laid down last night about 12:30, got up at 1:30. I could not sleep. All night long, just the message was burning on my heart, and I just got with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know I'm nothing, but I know You're everything, and I'm just praying, Father, today, You will take Your word, and You'll encourage hearts today. I'm believing with all my heart that God is wanting to do some great things in your life and my life, all for His glory. But you know what? There are three kinds of people that are seated here and right here in the congregation this morning. There are three kinds of people. Those three kinds of people, and furthermore, there are three directions that all of us are going in. Either we're going to go forward, we're going to go backwards, or we're going to stay where we're at. I want you to take a copy of the Word of God and turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. In the book of Joshua, this is a tremendous word, particularly for what we are facing, a new day. A new day, facing a new day. I don't know exactly what all you're facing these days, but I know this. Joshua, the man of God, according to Josephus, was probably about 80 years old at the time when he took the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land. You know Joshua, you know who he was. He followed Moses. Moses put his hands on Joshua, and God's spirit came upon Joshua. His task was to fulfill the promise to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. But if you would, skip all the way over to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. And today, this is going to challenge you and challenge me about loving the Lord Jesus and following the Lord Jesus and making a difference and serving the Lord in 2014. Let me just back up for a moment and summarize the book of Joshua. You could summarize it in three parts. First of all, there is preparing to enter the promised land. Those are the first few verses, or rather the first few chapters of the book of Joshua. Preparing to enter in the promised land. I believe God's preparing some of us for some things that we have no idea that we're going to go into in 2014. God was preparing Joshua for that entrance into the promised land. Secondly, you could say not only preparing to enter the promised land, but passing through the promised land. And that is found in the middle chapters of the book of Joshua. And then finally, the third part, if you were to summarize or give a brief outline of the book of Joshua, it would be possessing the land, that is the promised land. So first, they were preparing. Secondly, they were passing through. Thirdly, they were possessing the land. Now, there are three kinds of people here today. You fit in one of these three categories. And this is the challenge to you and to me today. Number one, there are the accusers. Number two, there are the excusers. And number three, there are the choosers. One, accuse. Two, excuse. And three, choose. Now listen to me, beloved. You are going to make a choice today. You are going to make a choice before you leave this place as to what you're going to do with the preaching and the teaching and the proclamation of the Word of God. God's going to speak to you today, I'll assure you. God's going to challenge you today, I'll assure you. And the question is, how are you going to respond? Now listen to me. You're going in one of three directions in the coming year. Matter of fact, you're right in one of these three directions right now. I don't know where you're at. You don't know really where I'm at. But some of us today, we are standing still in our spiritual pilgrimage. Where are you at in your... Hey, listen to me. Answer the question. Where are you at in your spiritual pilgrimage? Are you going backwards? Are you going forwards? Are you just standing still? Where are you in your spiritual journey? Are you going forward? Are you going backwards? Are you just standing still? Why aren't you going forward? Don't you understand that God's got great things for you? Don't let the devil rob you of the best that God has for you. No. Don't be an accuser or an excuser, but be a chooser. We're looking at the book of Joshua chapter 24. If you're there, say amen. In the book of Joshua chapter 24, really we could back up to chapter 23. Now let me summarize, and as we progress through the book of Joshua, facing a new day. Facing a new day. And you and I will face a new year. I trust you'll know the will of God. I trust you'll be in the will of God. I trust you won't lean on your own understanding and make terrible mistakes in the coming year. God, how many believe that God knows what's down the road? How many believe that God knows what's around the corner? How many know that if we're not careful, we can step out of the will of God and not really be in the will of God and make major mistakes and catastrophic disasters of our life because we don't really seek the Lord. Now, in the book of Joshua, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. I don't know about y'all, but I've been grieving here the last few days and last week or so. We've had so many of our precious people to go to be with the Lord Jesus. I believe it's counted about 8 or so in the last couple of months that I've had the privilege of being a part of their homegoing service. And I don't know why, but the Lord sure encouraged me through this passage of Scripture. Rise up. How many believe that we're living at a day and a time when this younger generation, it seemingly is living defeated? The older generation has seen great things, has seen God do great things. But I'm even seeing the older generation becoming cynical and the older generation becoming, watch this, I don't mean this harmful, but I'm seeing the older generation getting slack with their commitment to the Lord Jesus. And during that generation, there was a great commitment. But I want to say this to the younger generation today. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Rise up, child of God. Rise up, man of God, woman of God, and cross over the Jordan. Look at your problems. Face your problems. Face the future and trust God, and God will win the battle. We're just the younger generation is just seemingly there's no direction. Seemingly there's this fear and this insecurity about things in our economy and things about in our political and military and our religious country, the problems we've got. But listen, young people, God is looking for some men like Joshua. God is looking for some women like Joshua, to rise up in spite of the challenges, in spite of the problems, in spite of the difficulties, the death, the problems, and the challenges before us. God saying, rise up and go over Jordan. I love the book of Joshua. Moses has died there without a leader, but God says one plus him is always the majority. And so Joshua, the Lord came to him and said, Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Rise up and go over Jordan. Now, listen to me. Joshua said, but we've never passed here before. We've never been here before. How many believe? Listen to me. How many believe that the coming year we'll face some things we've never faced before? Come on, talk to me. Is there anybody here that says, you know what? I'm not exactly sure what 2014 will hold, but I do know this. I know who holds 2014, and praise God, we can trust Him, and praise God, we can have confidence as we're on the brink of another year to face our challenges, face our problems, face our difficulties, and knowing God is with us. Can I get an amen? Oh, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. I'm glad, thanks be to God. He said to Joshua, he said, every place your foot shall tread, I've given it unto you. Joshua 1:3. He said, that is, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. This is a word for somebody. This is a word for somebody. This is a word for somebody. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear thou not, me, neither be thou dismayed. I'm with thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm telling you, listen to me. Let me pause for a moment. The Holy Spirit is real. How many believe the Holy Spirit's real? When we come to church, the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how God has a word for you if you let God speak the rhema to you. God's given somebody a word today, just now. If you caught it, did you catch it? God says, you've been afraid and you've been scared and you've been worried and you've been troubled, but have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Fear thou not, neither be thou dismayed. I am with you whithersoever you go. And that was the great word that God gave to Joshua. And thus he in chapter 3 and the children of Israel walked across the Jordan River on dry land, just like God said. Next thing you know, they circle the city of Jericho. It comes, one victory after another until they got to Ai, of course. And then they had some difficulty, but yet God brought them through that as well. Then we come up to the chapter 24. Where does God want to take you? Where and what does God want to do this coming year? Some of you probably not even thought about it. You're just kind of going through the motions. You're just kind of reacting. You hadn't even gotten over Christmas yet. Christmas and the expense and the family and all that. You're still reeling and you're still responding from Christmas, let alone planning for the new year, let alone praying about the new year. But God, listen to me, He's got a word for us facing the new year. Speaking of that, I heard about a young lady who had moved out of her home. She was living at home and she went to college. And so she moved out of the home. She said to her mom, said, Mom, will you take care of my goldfish and my flowers while I'm gone? The mama said, sure, I'll take care of them, honey, no problem. And so the young girl moved out of the home. About a month or two later, she called mama, said, Mama, how are them flowers? She said, the mama said, well, they've all died. She said, really? She said, yep, they've all died. I said, okay. About a month later, she called back and to her mom. She said, Mom, how are those goldfish? Mama said, they've all died, too. There was a pause on the phone, and the girl said, how's Daddy doing? Is he okay? He hadn't died. Thank God he's still there. What does the future hold? What about 2014? We come to chapter 24, and there is a word that God gives Joshua. Really, it starts in 23, and it begins to remind them how good God has been. God calls the elders and calls the people there in chapter 23, and then he comes into chapter 24, and basically here's what he's saying. He's saying this in chapter 24, verses 1 through 13. He says, look what the Lord has done. Look at your blessings. Count your blessings. But then from verses 14 to verse chapter 24 to verse 24, not only look at your blessings, look what God has done. He's giving the children of Israel a little history lesson of where God has brought them. Could I give you a little history lesson today? Could somebody give me a little history lesson today where God has brought you, where God has taken you from? Is there anybody here that God has been blessing your life? Is there anybody here that God has been taking you from some difficulty and problems and he's bringing you into a place of stability and security and a place where you know that he and his hand is on you and with you? Is there anybody here could say, I know if it had not have been for the Lord, I wouldn't have made where I'm at today. So he's giving them a little history lesson. But secondly, he's telling them, now, wait a minute. Now you can be a blessing to me, says God. How many want to be a blessing to the Lord? Not only has he blessed us, but he wants us to be a blessing to him. How in the world can we do that? Well, he tells us in the latter part of that chapter. First, look what he's done. Look at his blessings. Next, look what you can do. And then thirdly, here is how you're going to do it. Verses 25 through 31 of chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. Let's look at Joshua 24 and let's read primarily verses 14 and 15 as we look at Joshua 24. Tell you what, back up to verse 13. Verse 13 of Joshua 24. And I have given you a land, this is God saying to Joshua and the children of Israel. Actually, Joshua is gathering them together, and God is saying to Joshua what he's done for them. Oh, let God bless you through this. Think about what God's done for you and for me. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, you did not toil, and cities which you built not. Verse 13. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat? Look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, you're very familiar with it. And if it seemed evil, notice that word evil in verse 15. It means if it seems to be a burden, or if it seemed to be troublesome unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. That is, God says, if it's gonna cramp your style, if it's gonna be a burden to you, if it's something you really don't want to do, don't do it. I mean, don't serve God if it's a burdensome to you, if it's troublesome to you, if it's something you really don't want to do, just don't do it. That's what Joshua's saying. Look at this. But he wants them to know very clearly what he's going to do. And I'll tell you what, child of God, it's a good thing that you and I will tell the world you can do what you want to do. I'm telling you, but that's for me and my house. This is what God's called us to do. Verse 15, and if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, underline that last phrase. But as for me, he just wanted them to be crystal clear about it. He wanted them to have no question in their mind. But as for me, have you nailed that thing down? Have you decided I'm going to follow Jesus, whether anybody else follows Jesus or not? Have you already decided it doesn't matter if it takes me into martyrdom, if they behead me, if they shoot me, if they persecute me, if they criticize me, if I'm slandered, if I'm vilified, I'm going to serve the Lord because He's done so much for me and He's worthy of my life, my loyalty, and my allegiance. He is my Lord and my life. Have you made up your mind about that? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's pray together, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know there's compromise on every hand. Lord, I feel the cultural trends. I sense, Father God, the world having a pull on us in this modern day. We need heaven's help. I need your grace. We all need you, God, to break through our hearts and illumine our minds. And Lord, help us to yield as a piece of clay does to a potter, to your will, your way, for your glory. Thank you now for the word. Thank you for the people that have come. We trust you, Jesus, to feed us, to impart to us wisdom and revelation. Oh, God, we don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know you hold the future. And Lord, we can be encouraged today. I pray, Father, the hearts will be stirred. Men and women, mamas and daddies, teenagers, young people, granddaddies, great-granddaddies, Father, will be stirred by your Spirit, Father. And a day like today, oh God, pull us out of complacency and, Lord, bring us into victory. Help us, Lord, not to excuse our sin. Help us, Lord, not to accuse others of our sin. Help us, Father God, to be decisive today, to break free, to live a life of holiness, to live a life of godliness, to live a life that pleases you because of your word, because of your precious blood, because of the cross of Christ, because of the power of prayer. Jesus, you've given us everything to be more than conquerors. So I confess my total dependency, my inadequacy on you, precious Lord. Take us now, use us, Lord, and Father, change lives. And we thank you, the word will not return to you void and empty. So Lord, I don't know what everybody's going through, but I pray faith will be birthed in the hearts. Faith will come alive again in some discouraged Christian here today. And God, the fires of heaven will be ignited in our hearts once again. A love relationship with you. Wean us from the world. Deliver us from the evil one. Keep us, Father, pursuing your will and your glory on our life. Thank you now what you've got planned. Oh God, we just say yea and amen to everything you've got planned. And we give you praise now for the breakthroughs that are going to occur in our families, in this nation, and Father, even in this community. We praise you, Lord. Bless you now in advance, calling those things which be not as though they were, And we just ask you, God, to keep us refreshed, keep us renewed, keep us, Father God, our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, we thank you now for victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. There are three kinds of people that are seated here today. Well, who are they? Accused, those that accuse, those that excuse, and then those that choose. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Tell me, you know, this day and time, it's easy for us to accuse instead of choose. You know what I mean by that, accuse? Today, it's always somebody else's fault. It's not my fault, you understand? It's not your fault. It's somebody else's fault I did what I did. It's somebody else's fault I act the way I do. It's always somebody else's fault. That's the accusers. I heard about Charlie Brown was in the walking by the principal's office, and Peppermint Patty was in the office of the principal. And Charlie Brown thought he'd just stop in there. And he stopped in there and he saw Peppermint Patty's talking with the principal. Peppermint Patty said, "Charlie Brown, blockhead, it's your fault I'm in the principal's office." He said, "What did I do this time? Why is it my fault?" She said, "It's your fault. You should have been a better influence on my life. It's your fault." That's what kind of world we're living in right now. Don't take responsibility. Just blame it on somebody else. Can I get an amen? Just don't take responsibility. Can I tell you something? I ran across this quote, and I think it's a powerful quote. Those of you that do electricity, y'all men, you know what I'm fixing to say here. You know the difference in a live wire and a dead wire? What's the difference in a live wire and a dead wire? A dead wire is a wire that's not connected to the power source. A live wire is connected to the power source. You see, we've got to stay connected to the power source, not accusing everybody. You know, the Bible says the devil's accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, Revelation 12, I believe it is, in verse 10. He's the accuser of the brethren. When are we going to stop blaming the way we are on this and on that and the things we do, blaming it on this? Accusers. Number two, there are the excusers. Not just the accusers, but the excusers. The excuser is one that says, "Well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I can't help it. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. And it's somebody else's fault." And we excuse instead of choose. Now, I want you to notice what Joshua said. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You can choose who you want to choose. Now, I'm fixing to hit hard on this practical application. If you're ready for the practical application, would you say amen? It's going to hit hard now. Buckle up your seatbelt. I said, "Buckle up your seatbelt. We're going for a ride. It's going to hit hard. You better buckle up." You know how I can tell if you accuse or excuse or choose? Which one are we going to do? Choose this day. Well, if I'm facing a new day, I've got to choose. Here's your choice. You ready? Here's your choice. Are you ready? Here's your choice. Number one, you and I can choose to live a life of sinfulness or live a life of holiness. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to choose? Choose you this day. Live a life of sinfulness. Now, it's easy to go the way of sinfulness. It's easy to do what the world is doing. Shack up, sex outside the marriage, drinking, carousing. After all, it was Christmas time and everybody's boozing a little bit at Christmas time. Can I get an amen? Wait a minute, I talked with several of our men. They said, "Pastor, we went to a party, of a company party, and everybody was boozing. I just got up and left." Well, praise God. It's easy to slip. It's easy to choose to live a life of sin. Listen to me. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Let's say that together. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Word of God says, "What a man sows, that's what he also reaps. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The way of the transgressor is hard, but really it's easy in a sense to go along with the world like a dead fish that floats down the stream. It takes a live fish to swim against it. How many believe we are living in a cultural battle these days that it seems like everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes? And we're promoting it and we're applauding it and we're in your face, television, newspaper, our culture is saturated with sin. And if you don't, and I don't embrace the sin concept, then we are absolutely different and peculiar people. Well, hallelujah. Last time I read it, I think that's what it said we're supposed to be. But we're to be in the world, but not of the world. But listen to me, folks. Far too much we've been compromising. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Life of holiness. Let me tell you something. You know what God's will is for you? I don't have to pray about this thing. I can tell you what it says. Be holy as I am holy. Hello. We don't hear much preaching about this today. It's not popular. Matter of fact, it'll ruffle some feathers. Matter of fact, it'll get some folks mad. Not just mad, but hopping mad. Preacher, I don't believe you had the audacity to preach about this and this and that. Well, I'm just telling what the Word of God says. I'm the mailman just delivering the mail. It don't matter if it's culturally correct or not. If it's biblically wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong. And thank God we need to call wrong, wrong, and right, right. Doesn't matter if Hollywood says it's right. Doesn't matter if the sports stars promote it. If the Word of God says it's wrong, we've got to stand with the Word of God. That's what we got to choose. But a lot of people aren't choosing that. A lot of Christians in churches are excusing and accusing. Well, this and that, and I went through this and that and other. Well, a life of holiness or a life of sinfulness. Choose you which way. All right, choice number two. Are you going to choose to walk in the Spirit or are you going to choose to walk in the flesh? Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 following. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Tell me, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you letting the flesh dictate you? I want you to know. See, I got to think about this morning. I'm not being hard, but I'm just telling the truth. What we do with the Scripture, you know what we do with the Bible? This is what often we do with the Bible. Most Christians, we grab the Bible, we find out some things we like in it. I like that right there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I like that right there. Well, I like it too, but you got to like the whole thing, not just a piece of here and a piece there. And that's where we're getting off track. That's where we're missing the mark. Is we just want a little part here and the world just grabs a part here. But wait a minute. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 following. Choose you this day. You're going to choose to walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is against the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another. You may not do the things you please. Tell me, are you walking in the Spirit? Tell me, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. I know that's strong. And this modern cultural, postmodern mindset that sits in church, that wants to do their own thing, skip in church and live like a devil, live like hell, they don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. But hey, that's all right. It's still the truth of God's Word. And let God be true and every man a liar. If it convicts me, either I've got to get right or I rebel against God. One of the two choices. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Are you walking in the Spirit? That means living by the Spirit. That means letting the Holy Spirit of God control your life. Are you walking in the dictates of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, lust? Are you dominated by lust? Are you dominated by greed? Are you controlled by jealousy? These are works of the flesh and not of the Spirit. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? Number three, are you going to choose to seek Jesus first? Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not sixth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Well, what does he mean when he says all these things? In the context of Matthew chapter 6, verses 24, following to verse 34, you remember that Jesus is talking about the birds of the air and how they're going to get their food. They're not worried about it. And the lilies of the field, how they're going to be clothed. They're not worried about it. The Heavenly Father's going to clothe them. He's going to feed the birds of the air. And then he says, but in the context of worrying about all of our other problems, our cares, seek ye first. Question, newsflash, are you seeking Jesus first? Really, be honest now. You can lie if you want to. I can lie if I want to. God knows our heart. The fact is, a lot of us aren't seeking God first. We got idols in our life. I'm just being honest with you. We got idols. Sometimes our family can become idols. Sometimes our jobs can become idols. Sometimes ourselves can become idols. You know, Usually, if it's something I don't want to do, and if it's something I know that's that I've got a chance to do, and if it's something I don't really want to do, and I know it's really God's will to do it, I'm pretty sure it's an idol. I'm pretty sure God says, no, son, that you put that thing before me. Have you put anybody before you? Have you put any children before you? Have you put any relationship before God? Have you put anything before God? There's some things we need to put on the altar today. Choose you this day. Is Jesus number one in your life? Well, he is, you know, sometime, but not all the time. Well, do you want God's blessings in 2014? Do you want to just keep doing the things you do? Well, I'm not too bad, Brother Pastor. Everything's going all right with me. But what if God said, hey, I could do much more in your life if you trust me? I've got some cities you didn't build and some vineyards you didn't plant. And I've got superabundant blessings and multiplied power for you and for me. All right, number four. Tell me. Are we going to choose unforgiveness or forgiveness? Are you going to choose to stay resentful? Are you going to choose to stay bitter? Are you going to choose to be mad? You went through some stuff at Christmas time. They didn't show up. They didn't do this. He did this. She did this. They didn't do that. Now you're still sulking over what happened at Christmas time. You got to let it go. You can choose to keep on digging it up. You can choose to keep on thinking about it. You can choose to just keep staying angry about it. Or you can just let it go and move on. If we're going to have the blessings of God in 2014, we've got to let it go and move on. I talked with two brothers here recently, 2 days ago. Came from the same family, born from the same parents, lived in the same home. One brother going this way serving God, another brother going this way serving the devil. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Who are you going to serve? The Bible says, looking diligent, lest any seed of bitterness spring up, trouble you. I know we've camouflaged this. I know we've gotten sophisticated about how we get angry and bitter and we hide it and we act like everything's okay. But listen to me, beloved, it comes out sooner or later. You start talking about it and your voice all of a sudden starts changing. Can I get an amen? You start getting your blood pressure starts skyrocketing a little bit because you're still mad about it. Choose you this day. Let it go, man. Life's too short to go around. No wonder Paul wrote and said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then he said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Listen to me. Some of us have some past relationships that we hadn't got over yet. You still got some stuff. It's the devil's eating your lunch over. You know he's eating your lunch over. And deep down, wait a minute, I'm fitting to say something to somebody. Deep down inside, if you don't deal with it right now, sooner or later that thing's going to surface and it's going to create major problems down the road. I know we're good at hiding stuff. We're good at suppressing stuff instead of dealing with it. Choose you this day. I told you it was going to be hard. I told you it's going to be strong. And some of us are angry and mad at things that have happened in our life. Oh, we're smiling. Oh, we act friendly. But oh, listen, deep down inside. Well, what about number five? Choose you this day. Are you going to choose? Am I going to choose to be thankful? An attitude of gratitude. Has God been good to you? Has God really been good to you? Has the Lord really blessed you? How many of God been good to you? How many are willing to bless the Lord? How many are willing to say, man, I can't just keep silent about this. I can't just say, all right, I've been blessed, but I want more blessings. You blessed me this year, and God, I want more blessings next year. That's ungratefulness. No wonder Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he said this, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. Ungrateful for the things that God has done. Choose this day. Are you going to say, God, I'm undeserving. I don't deserve anything, Lord, but you've been good. You bless me. I want to thank you. You know what the Word of God says? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Let's say that together. In everything give thanks. Say it again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I heard about a lady sitting in a testimony service like kind of what we've got today. She had two teeth in her mouth. She raised her hand and said, Pastor, I'd like to give a word of testimony. He wondered what she was going to say. She said, praise God, I just got two teeth in my mouth. She said, but thank God they meet. Amen. They meet together. Are we grateful people? I mean, really, are we grateful people? Are we thankful? No wonder the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, an attitude of gratitude. God, you bless me. Lord, I praise you for your blessings. Thanksgiving. Attitude of gratitude or attitude of ingratitude. What is it? Do you complain when you get home? Do you complain on the way over here? Your car's running good and your truck's running good, but complain about, you know, the rain or complain. I know we all do at times. God, help us to be grateful. Help us to be appreciative people. And then, not only Thanksgiving, but what about choose you this day? Are you going to be a woman of prayer? Are you going to be a man of prayer? Are you just going to talk about prayer? We talk more than we do praying, I think, don't we? Are you just going to talk about prayer? We sit in the church for a long time, and if we're not careful, it just becomes our conversation. We talk about praying for each other. But choose you this day. Are you going to really pray? Are you going to be a prayer warrior, prayerfulness, instead of prayerlessness? God says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray. I'm telling you, 2014, I'm giving you a test right now. Which way you're going, you can choose not to pray. You can choose. Yeah, how many be honest today and say, you know, Brother Pastor, really honestly, I could really, and I'm not saying this for any other reason, but I could really improve my prayer life a little bit. All of us could, I believe. All of us could. Well, why not list purpose in a heart to do it? 2014. Lord, I want to be known as a man of prayer because, Lord, I know that that's the way I stay connected with you. Prayerlessness. No wonder the disciples were sleeping and were falling when they should have been standing because they were sleeping when they should have been praying. And so it is with us. You know, a picture of the church today in America is the church is sleeping. Hello. This thing of Duck Dynasty that just happened here a few weeks ago, I mean, that was... I'm not going to get into that, but boy, that sure did stir up a hornet's nest, and some people got all bent out of shape about it. And my question is this, and I'm glad, praise God, I don't watch it. I've never watched it before. I just now find out a little bit about it, but I'm glad. Everybody tells me they watch it, and it's Christian, da-da-da-da-da, and so wonderful. But my question is this, why does it take something like that to happen to get people stirred up? Hello? I can't hear you. Why does it take something like that to get people stirred up about stuff? Is it we're so in tune with some of that stuff that, and you know what, I'm saying this, I don't mean to be critical, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but I got to say this. The crowd, a lot of the crowd that's watching that stuff in this AE, and I don't know beans about it, but a lot of the crowd that's watching the AE and they're threatening to take them off, after Duck Dynasty comes on, they'll keep on watching AE whether they have bone or not. Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. Hello, is that a double standard or what? I can't hear you. I'm just getting down to some nitty-gritty stuff here. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And God's saying, listen to me. Joshua's standing saying, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now listen, I know this upsets you when I start preaching on things like this, and I don't mean to. I love each one of you, but I just got to, this has been on my heart, and I just got to share what God's got on my heart. What about this? What about serving the Lord? How many are going to choose to serve the Lord? How many are going to choose not to serve the Lord? Do you know what? God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Why? That they might serve Him. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's say that together. Serve the Lord with gladness. Say it again. Serve the Lord with gladness. He didn't say be mad about it. He didn't say be critical about it. He didn't say, fuss and rant and rave about it. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's a privilege to serve our Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are you going to serve the Lord in 2014? Are you just one of those who say, well, bless God, my time's gone now. I've served the Lord and now my time's gone. Well, I've got news for you. I don't see anything in the Bible about a retirement program God has for serving Him. I just don't see it. Do you see it? Somebody show me. Where does it say that you ought to retire as serving God? It's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong commitment. And just like Sister Joyce went to be with the Lord, she's with the Lord now. I guarantee you she's glad she served the Lord. She sat there and listened to sermons like this, messages like this, and probably said some things, and it convicts me as well as I share it. It convicts me as I share it too. But I guarantee you right now she's saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm glad I serve the Lord. It's going to be worth it when we get to glory. Right now, it's hard for us to understand. All right, serve the Lord with gladness. What else? How about faith? Are we going to choose faith? Or are we going to choose not faith? Are we going to choose no faith or choose faith in Jesus? 2014 is going to call for us to exercise some faith in the Lord. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the roots and cast in the sea. Faith to move mountains. Well, what is faith? Not faith in ourselves, but faith in Him. Faith in the Lord. Faith, Hebrews 11:1, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. What is faith? Faith is taking God at His word. Are we going to believe God? God's telling you to do the impossible, but you're saying, man, I can't do it. God's telling you to go witness to somebody, and you're saying, you're talking, you're making excuses, accusing and excusing, and instead of choosing. Lord, if you tell me to do it, God, I believe you'll give me the power to do it. Glory be to His name. When God, hey, listen to me, when God calls us to do something, He empowers us to do it. It's right there. The blood of the Lamb, the Word of God, the power of the cross, the power of prayer, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. God's calling us today as Isaiah, hear my Lord, send me. So, faith. Some of us, listen to me, I get this way. You listen to news, and if you're not careful, the news can get you real cynical. Can I get an amen? And if you watch Fox News, which is about the only thing worth watching as far as news is concerned, unless you like the secular slant on it, even that, though, man, it's just usually negative, bad. I tell you, we need to have our Bibles by us when we watch the news. Y'all believe that? And if we're not careful, we can just get so negative, and then faith, that thing of faith, the water is poured over the fire of faith because we're watching, feeding our minds on that negative stuff all the time instead of feeding our minds on the truth of God's Word. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Can I tell you this? Choose this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve. Are you going to choose to honor and exercise faith in the Lord? No matter what, no matter what you go through, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. What about this? What about choosing to, watch this now, you ready for this? Say amen if you're ready. This is going to hit hard now. I'm just trying to pre-warn you beforehand where you can brace yourself. Are you going to choose to be covetous or contented? Covetous. I've got to have this new thing. Man, it was on television, and I got to have this new toy. I've got to have this new car, this new truck, this new house, this new piece of furniture. Now, there's nothing wrong with new things. I agree. Nothing at all. Hallelujah. But listen to me. I'm just telling you about me. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling this is like a lot of us. Sometimes, watch this. Watch this, young people. Sometimes it's hard to draw the line. It's hard to draw the line, because in my flesh dwells no good thing. That I would do, I find myself not doing, and that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. So God gets the blessing, and all of a sudden we're not careful, we just start enjoying the blessings, and then next thing you know, we praise God for the material blessings, but there's something in me that wants more. You know what I'm talking about? Something in me wants more. I'm not contented. I'm not satisfied. I want more. And then I think that more is going to really make me happy. And it really don't make me happy. Hello. Solomon learned that. But someone has well said, we buy things that we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know. Covetousness. Jesus said it this way. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Here's what He said. Beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is we've got to draw the line. Are we going to walk in covetousness? Are we going to walk in contentment? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul said, I've learned to be content. You want to go in 2:14 with the blessings of God, the power of God? You say, but Brother Pastor, I'm listening to these preachers on television, and they're this prosperity gospel and stuff. Well, you just keep listening to them, but you keep your Bible out, and you keep comparing what they say with the Word of God. Make sure they don't just pick out this and that and sugarcoat it. Hello, can you hear me? We got a lot of Christians now that aren't discerning. They just hear this little, you know, sugar-coated here and sugar-coated here instead of the whole counsel of God. And we're in trouble, and our nation, we're in trouble as a Christian community because we've not declared the whole counsel of God. All Scripture's given by inspiration of God. And I'm not a saint, put myself up to be a know-it-all. I'm not there either, folks. Compare it with the Scripture. When pastor preaches, get your word out, get the Bible out, compare it. Make sure the things are so like those in the church of Berea. Check it out. Get in the Word. Let the Word get in you. All right, choice. You're going to feed your mind with truth, or you're going to feed your mind with trash? I just want to be honest with you. Trash or truth? How can we be Spirit-filled? How can we love the Lord with all of our heart? How can we be anointed with the Holy Spirit if we're feeding our mind with trash? There's some stuff. Hey, listen, I love you, but I'm tempted here just like you're tempted here. But praise God, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Now, what I'm talking about today is something above your normal status quo Christian life. The average Christian today just wants to get saved to go to heaven. They don't really care how they live. But I've got good news for you. Jesus said he came to give us life and give it more abundantly. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be whipped by the enemy. You can live above the world, the flesh, the devil. Listen to me. I'm not advocating sinless perfection, but I'm saying this. Victory is always possible in the Lord. Don't satisfy for anything less than heaven's best. And some of you are satisfied with less. You've been compromising. You've been watching some stuff. You know it's not becoming of a Christian. You said, oh, it don't bother me. I don't believe it. It does. In that suke of ours, in that mind of ours, if it didn't bother you, then why would Paul have written, wait a minute, here's a test. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why would Paul have said, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever just, whatsoever lovely, whatsoever good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Why does the Word of God tell us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? You say, but brother pastor, aren't you a normal human being? Yeah, I'm normal just like you are. And there's some things, I'm fixing to talk about it a little bit. There's some things that if we're not careful, we can begin to compromise. Wait a minute, I'm fixing to say something. Little compromises lead to big consequences. Hello, this is one of those messages, heart-searching, I know. It's one of those messages that you got to really think about that hits us right where we're living. But listen, it's the choice. Choose you this day. Are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to be content? Are you going to choose, watch this, Jesus or the devil? The devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, I can be a Christian, but I can still let the devil not possess me, granted, but I can let the devil control me. Hello. You don't believe that? Well, why did Jesus say to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan had the desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Now, if the devil will sift Simon Peter, who was a great man of God, don't think he won't sift you and me. You're not above it, sir. You're not above it, ma'am. And that's what he's out doing. We've got to stay clothed with the whole armor of God. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. All this is a simple message dealing with choosing things. These choices you make and I make on a daily basis determine whether we're in the will of God or not in the will of God. And they determine whether we're going to be used of God or really not be used of God. What about heaven or hell? The choice is yours. Choose heaven or choose hell. Which one is it going to be? Choose heaven or choose hell. Jesus said the rich man died and went to hell. I don't care if people don't believe in hell today. I was reading a report here just a minute ago that said now people in America only like 58% believe in hell and believe in the devil. Can you believe it? That is a latest statistic. 58% of the people in America don't believe in hell and don't believe in the devil. It don't mind if they believe it or not. It's real, amen. Remind me of the story of that mother-in-law that said to her daughter, said, honey, she's found a boy that she wanted to marry. And she said, but mama, that boy, he's a nice boy, but he don't believe in the devil, don't believe in hell. Mother-in-law said, honey, don't you worry about that. You go ahead and marry him, and he's around me for 6 months. He'll believe in the devil and in hell. Oh, my. Heaven or hell? Listen to me. Jesus said, he made it clear, the rich man died. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Check it out, Luke 16. Check it out. Luke 16, 19 through verse 31. Verse 19 through verse 31. The rich man died and went to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. You know, they tell us today, if you preach on hell at a funeral or even a church service, people could sue you because it caused an emotional distress. So be it. If it's in the Word of God, they're just going to have to do it. Come on, talk to me. Have we compromised? Have we watered down so much? Have we caved in to the world so much that we're afraid, we're fearful of obeying God? God help us. And I know what you're thinking. I know what, I'm not saying this critically. I'm just making a statement. You can agree with me or not agree with me. A lot of these church growth movements are just absolutely leaving hell out of their messages. They don't want to talk about hell. Why, it's offensive, Pastor. And people won't come to the church if you preach about hell. Preacher, maybe if we just stop preaching about hell, maybe more people come. Well, who are you trying to please? People or God Almighty? Hello. I mean, this is a late day, 2014. I'm telling you, we're in a cultural trend now. Rise up, child of God, rise up. Rise up, facing a new day. Heaven or hell, which one is going to be? The poor man, Lazarus, was escorted by the angels to Abraham's bosom. A picture of heaven. The Lord made it clear. Now, hold on. Hold on to your seat. You hold on. Are y'all, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. This is going to hit hard, what I'm fixing to say. Are you ready for it? This is going to hit hard. You ready for it? Are you going to repent or are you going to rebel? Are you going to repent or are you going to rebel? Things the Lord has said to us today, either you're making one or two choices. Well, no preacher going to tell me what to do. I don't care what that brother pastor said. I don't care what he said. And I get that way, stubborn and hard-headed. I do. God knows how to subdue us, though. Can I get a witness? God knows how to to get our attention, hello, like the old farmer that had an old stubborn mule. He got a big tuber for him, hit him upside the head, and they said, what'd you do that for? He said, I just want to get his attention, before I get him. But are you going to repent or are you going to rebel? See, the Word of God's going forth right now, and either you say, Lord, I need a change, repent. Paul said, God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3. And listen, I love what the Lord said to Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 following. He said this, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go and learn what that means. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, when God shows us stuff, are we going to stay in fellowship with God or are we going to stay disconnected from God? That's the question. Are we really confessing our sins? Hello? Are you playing church? You just want to play games, don't you? You just want to play religion? Well, just sit in church and never repent. Just sit in church. Remember, accuse, excuse, or choose. Accuse, well, I'm like what I am because everybody's like that. Or excuse, or choose. If we really want to walk in fellowship with God, we've got to do it God's way. Listen to what the Word of God says. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, being honest with God, when God puts His finger on something in our heart, there's an idol that we know that we got to break free from, and we choose not to do it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm thinking to say something else. Hold on to your seat. I'm almost done. Aren't you glad? Can I get amen? I'm glad. Praise God, I am. I'd rather preach something else, honestly. But this is what the Lord put on my heart. But wait a minute. One more thing. Are we going to be self-righteous, critical, judgmental? Or are we going to be a humble, broken servant? Man, if this doesn't hit us right between the eyes, I don't know what will. It's so easy for me and you to be a critical, judgmental, self-righteous Christian. Can I get an amen? Instead of being a broken, humble servant of God, there goes me, yet by the grace of God. Lord, I'm only what I am because of your grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And you see, I love the story in Luke 17. That unprofitable servant. That's what the Lord told us we are. Unprofitable servants doing our duty. Don't you want to be called a servant of God? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. One last thing and I'll be done. John Maxwell has written a book, and in the book he says this. I don't know, I've not read the book, but I read an excerpt from the quote. I like what he said. He said, when I was young people, listen to me. He said, when I was young, I used to pray, God, give me the energy to change the world. He said, but then I became a young adult, and I said, God, give me the grace to change my family and friends. But he said, now that I'm old, I don't pray that anymore. Now I say, God, give me the grace to change myself. And I wish that I prayed that when I was first coming up. That's perhaps what God is after. Lord, change me, Lord. Change me. Are we going to go in 2016? Or 2014? Hello, if the Lord tarries. Are we going to go in 2014? Facing a new day. Choose this day whom you'll serve. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet with me, would you?